Russ Kine, are you there?
Yes, my brother. How are you, Russ Kine?
We just got off the phone talking to Ansel Cridlin, and so we're doing good. All the interviews have happened today, and I love it. I love it. I love it. So I just want to tell the listening audience before I let you speak, I had the privilege of visiting North Carolina, Asheville, and I was invited to this brother who is about to talk, about to speak. I was invited to his house, and I talked to Asher this morning, too, and he said, when you get up there in those mountains, man, it's something that the air does something to you, man. It's just fresh air, and I want to thank you again for inviting us up there, and I loved it. I just want to let you know that. And at that show, they talked about it, and I went to Poughkeepsie, and they're still talking about that show in Asheville. They said that the tour so far, that's been the best show. And actually, Asher missed them because they canceled the show in D.C. So we saw something special. Now,
yeah, wasn't that both having you on the back deck here on our Crystalline Mountain was mystical, and then seeing you again a few days later in Asheville with Luciana was mystical. That was wonderful, my brother.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's kind of made me think about changing my area where I'm residing at this point, brother. I tell you, you know, I'm giving it some serious thought. You know, I talked to my daughter this morning, and she happened to tell me, well, Dad, you know, I think Atlanta and North Carolina are two places right now that are very progressive.
You know? Well, they are. North Carolina, this area of North Carolina is not the redneck North Carolina, the eastern part of the state that elected Jesse Helms and all like that. Asheville and this boom blowing rock area are very progressive areas. There's a lot of dread energy. There's a lot of reggae. I mean, when Bunny Wailer came here to our little town of Boone, 800 people showed up who weren't even alive when the Wailers were touring with Bob.
Wow.
So, I mean, 800 people, you know, came to Boone for the Wailer show. So this is a very, very wonderful area. I highly recommend it if you're considering a move. Asheville has got a lot of roots energy, a lot of reggae energy. And, you know, we live on a crystalline mountain. We live on the only crystalline mountain in the world. That's why the vibes are you were picking up on so much.
Yeah, that's that. You know, when you told us that, you know, that was amazing to me. You know, I say that's a historical, very historical too, and pure. I mean, that's the thing, as pure as you can get. You know, I mean, with all of the pollution and stuff around today, you know, getting up in those mountains, man, it was just like it was heaven.
You know, one thing to know, you know, many of us are going to be called to work, you know, in the cities and whatever, but if like many of your listeners might be feeling the desire to get farther away from the commercial establishment, then we're going to the Iroquois country tomorrow to bring a message of peace within the Iroquois country up around Syracuse, New York, and up in your area. You know, the peacemaker from the Huron tribe who brought the message of peace to the Iroquois Nation, which formed the Iroquois Confederacy. Most people don't know this story. There was a democracy here long before the white people came, and it was five Iroquois tribes, the Seneca, the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, people like that. It formed into a tribe because this one man who was born of virgin birth and raised on the edge of a village, the people did not believe his mother was virgin. She was ostracized, and the peacemaker, his name was Daganoweda, was raised on the edge of the village, and he went and he made peace between these five tribes, which formed the Iroquois Confederacy. Well, there was a reason that Daganoweda was raised on the edge of the village, because it's very hard to keep balance inside the village, as you well know, Russell.
Indeed, indeed.
So I would tell people, if you're feeling that draw, we've lived on the edge of the village now for 7 years, and if you have the ability to do it and you feel that draw and your work is no longer in the village, then I tell you, trying to find an edge of a village somewhere at this time in history might be very therapeutic for us, and may allow you to stay better balanced to help your brothers and sisters who are in the village. I highly recommend an edge of the village existence if you're drawn to that.
That makes so much sense, though. I mean, you know. So you're going to be in Syracuse. You're heading up there tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be coming right through Binghamton. Unfortunately, I've got a meeting Monday night, so I won't be able to stop, but I'll probably try to call you. But what we're doing is Julia and I are driving to Syracuse, and Abby Jaw's coming in from the Montreal Reggae Festival, and we're meeting in Syracuse where some community activists there have put together a One Love tour for us to go into the inner city Syracuse, which has been having a lot of gang problems. We'll be performing our One Love concerts at a prison with 700 people, into the Dunbar Center where the kids are. We're doing it at a church and one public park in the inner city. And then this weekend, we're going to be at Long Branch Park right outside of Syracuse. And Long Branch Park is the Onondaga Lake Peace Festival for Saturday and Sunday. And Abby Jaw will be performing, and Julia and I will be speaking. What you need to know, this Iroquois Confederacy that I mentioned, when the peacemaker went out and over a series of years, he traveled to the five tribes with Hiawatha, not the Hiawatha from Longfellow's poem, but the real Hiawatha. They went to all these warring tribes, and they said to them, "We bring the law of peace, the great law of peace. The Creator wants all men to live together without bloodshed." And these tribes, all in your area, right in your backyard, these tribes had been at each other's throat for generations. They were into revenge, blood revenge. Everyone had lost someone. Sounds familiar. Sounds like the world today. Mm-hmm. You know, the Israelis and the Palestinians, the Iraqi and, you know, Shiite and the Sunni, you know, the Tutsis and the Hutus, all this blood revenge. They went and they reasoned with the leaders, Daganoweda and Hiawatha, activated the women in the clan, and the tribes, and they reasoned with the leaders into love. And they started the Iroquois Confederacy, and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson went and studied that Confederacy to put together our democracy. So the roots of our democracy, which is spread all over this planet, has come from the Native Americans that lived in your area. And there are many passages from Martin Luther King, from Kennedy, from Clinton, from Thomas Jefferson acknowledging this fact. But it was written out of the history books, Ross Charles, because how can we say that the savages that we killed were actually farther along philosophically, politically than were the English who came over here?
That's always the case. We can't give them no credit. How could we
do
that?
No, they were savages that needed to be either Christianized or murdered. Land taken. So right in your backyard, the first democracy was formed. And in this park, the Long Branch Park in Syracuse, Saturday and Sunday, was where the five tribes had their first group meeting. So we're going to go back to this sacred spot at Long Branch Park on Saturday and Sunday for this two-day festival to honor this peace that happened right at that spot, and bring this One Love vibration, and ask people in the inner cities and the Syracuse area and everything to, as the peacemaker said, don't keep telling the old stories. The war will never end. We have all been in some way abused. I'm Jewish. You know my abuse. My wife is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Her abuse happened to the English. You're African American. We don't need to say more about your abuse. All of us, in one way or another, have been abused by people in power. White, red, black, everyone, any people in power abuse people with lesser power. And it comes a time when you have to stop telling the old stories for the war to end, and you have to focus on the healing. And that was the message the peacemaker brought in, that we had to stop telling the old stories about the revenge killings and what the Oneida did to the Onondaga and what the Onondaga did to the Mohawks, and to make this great peace, which prevailed. It happened centuries before the white man came. The white man studied it. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they incorporated it into the democracy. But let me tell you the difference. The peacemaker was coming from a spiritual level. He was a virgin birth Messiah. Many people think he was a reincarnation of Jesus. And as you know, the Mormons believe that Jesus did appear to the Native Americans after he was, you know, in the Mideast. In fact, one of the leaders of the Iroquois Nation say that the peacemaker said, "I brought this across the great water one time, and they hung me from a tree."
Really?
Yeah, so this may have been the same entity that incarnated as Jesus, and he, you know, came and he brought this peace on a spiritual level. However, when the Americans made their democracy, they made it for mostly economic reasons. And because they made it for economic reasons, they allowed slavery because they weren't coming from a spiritual place. They were all gentlemen.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, hold on. Now, you can't tell me that they didn't come from a spiritual place, Robert, when they espoused religion, didn't they?
Well, they did. They wanted their freedom of religion. Let's just say they didn't come from as clear a spiritual place.
Ah, okay, okay.
Thank you for correcting my blanket judgment here. And I tripped over my own ego, which I'm prone to do.
Hey, I am too, my brother.
Yeah, I trip over my own judgments myself and have to check myself, and I appreciate you checking me. So what they did is they did two things. They allowed slavery for an economic reason. They disenfranchised the women.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why our democracy, even, and then now that we've got those two things clear, we've allowed corporate interests to corrupt and pollute the democracy. So we have never established the clear democracy that existed in your backyard. And we're still a work in progress to get this straight. It's moving in some ways the right direction. We've gotten rid of slavery. We've allowed women to vote. We've given more rights. In other ways, the corporations have come in with such vast sums of money that it's really now a corporately controlled democracy. It's almost a dictatorship of the elite. I think most of your readers are well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be up there bringing this five into the area. If any of your people come, the festival's like $10 or $15. It's at Long Branch Park next Saturday and Sunday. It's going to have a lot of entertainment, a lot of speakers, booths, and Abby Job
and
performing
food.
Each day.
And I'm sure there's going to be food there, too.
And there'll be food.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. This sounds good, man. And being that you come in some kind of way, we might link up before the grassroots, man, because, I'm close to Syracuse. Give me a ring or email me or something, and we might do a link up, man.
Also, would you like me to have Abby Jock call in next Sunday to interview on air?
Oh, that would be unbelievable. That would be great.
I will. I've got your home number too, and I'll have Abby. I'll talk to you this week, and you can interview Abby John next week. And by then, they can tell how our performances went. And what I want to tell your audience is to remember: our message is simply this: each person has been sent here to heal a very small piece of the planet. It's called your life. The Creator hasn't asked you to stop the war in Iraq, to end all injustice. He's asked you only to do what you can. And because you can't heal everything, don't get disillusioned and heal nothing. You're not asked to. None of us are asked to. So the way you do this is simple. You get up every day and to the best you can, love and forgive as many as you can, as soon as you can, as much as you can. And spread that vibration out person to person. The healing of this planet is going to happen by ordinary people, one and two at a time. And I want to remind people, because it's such a time in history where so many people are disillusioned, so many of your listeners who know this one love vibration, who feel in their heart they want to make a contribution, so many of them and us have become disillusioned and disheartened by the way things are and the way things are coming down in Iraq and in Jamaica and places like that. Pull yourself out of that and say, I can't fix all that. But if I get up every day and I love and forgive as much as I can, then I have done what the Creator sent me to do. And what the other 6 billion people do is between them and the Creator. So I want to ask everyone who's now ready. And like Scram says in our book, Rasta Heart, he says, not every heart is ready to cherish this one love. And for those that aren't, you won't be left behind. We'll send angels back because everyone's coming home together. And that path home is love. So for those of you in Bingham, New York today, claim yourself as a teacher of love. Go out and spread that vibration to your school, your offices, your church, your synagogue, your mosque, wherever, and claim yourself to teach this love, as so many of the people who you play in your station have done, like Luciano, like Bob Marley, like Abby John, like Burning Spear, like President Brown, like Warrior King, all these great people who claim themselves as teachers of love.
You know what a woman said in Asheville? She said, actually, when she heard Luciano describe himself as the messenger, she was like, well, who does he think he is? Until she went to actually see him and saw this person, and you automatically vibe it from him when you meet him. I mean, it's just, she said, I changed my mind. I don't feel that way about him anymore. I think he's one of the best performers I ever saw, you know. And you know, I looked at that and I said, wow, you know. And I tell him myself, I said, brother, be careful, watch your back, because a person that's doing what you're doing, trying to unite, you become a danger to the wider society. You know, those powers that be, that don't want people to come together, that don't want people to love each other. And he said, Russ Charles, thank you, you know, and definitely have to do that, you know, because it's just the way it is, you know.
You know, this is a quote from Rosa Parks that addresses that. Rosa Parks said, you must never be fearful about what you are doing when it is right. So I think that's the vibration you have to go under. When you're doing something that's right, put the fear aside and know you're doing what Jah sent you to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is everybody's a messenger.
Ah.
Everybody can have...
You're right, man.
Everyone is the same messenger. Luciano's claimed himself. You know, he says, you know, man was born to love Jah. Man was made to love Jah, you know, and he claims himself in that position. And so I would say that everybody, maybe your effect won't be as highly visible as Luciano. Maybe you won't perform in front of thousands of people. Maybe it'll just be in your home and in your church and in your place of work that you'll be that, you know. But it doesn't matter, because that's the place you were sent, and your efforts can be just as powerful.
Well, that's the real truth about it, man. You know, what I want to say is that we got about 15 more minutes to go, and I want to give them a little bit more music today. But I want to really thank you, because I think it's important. I told enough people that you were going to call, and I told this one lady that she's a Native American. She's Iroquois, actually, and she would like to come. She's going to come up. She wanted to know when you were going to be up there. So this is on, man. I love this, and this is what we're about, man. Connecting, making connections, and spreading the positive messages, Robert. And I, you know, hail up your wife, hail up your daughter. It was a pleasure meeting your daughter and your wife and you. And hey, man, I love you.
I love you, my brother, and I hope one day we're closer neighbors.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, that sounds very good, man.
And I can tell from the tone in your voice that your trip down here was incredibly healing on four or five different levels.
Man, you don't know. It was so healing and cleansing, and I don't know, my body went through some kind of serious change, man. And even with that drive down there, which I thought to myself that I wasn't going to make it, you know, it's like leaving at 3:30 in the afternoon. I should have never done that, because I was up in those mountains at like 11, 12 o'clock. You know, when I left at 9 o'clock in the morning, when I left there, and I drove down the mountain, I could not believe that's what I was driving up. And I said, my God, if I could see what I was driving up, I would have definitely stayed at a rest stop. No way was I going to come out there and venture into that, boy. That was scary.
Yeah, it's better to take these roads in the day, but I'm glad that John was your co-pilot on that trip.
Oh, yes, indeed. And so I just want to say, I want to thank you for calling, and we'll definitely be in touch, and I look forward to seeing you even. So, again, hail up your wife, and you're on a mission too, man, and God bless you for that mission.
Thank you, my brother, and I'll call you this week about Abby John being on the program next week.
All right. One love, my brother.
One love, my brother. Take care.
Every time.
Well, this goes out to the Eidsgold and Green Mafia style in Germany.